Hey guys, I'm Tawny, founder of Sobriety Tea Party and Readings on Recovery.
And I'm Lisa, author of Girl Walks Out of a Bar. And welcome to our podcast,
Recovery Rocks. We're going to talk to you about everything from recovery to rock and roll to living in New York City.
We're going to talk about how we got sober, why we got sober, and how we stay sober.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Recovery Rocks.
I'm Lisa.
What if I did the whole episode?
That could make you a Bond girl.
Or the queen.
You are the queen.
You said it.
Yes.
So this week we're going to talk about alternative recovery options besides AA. This is a great question, whoever submitted this. There's a lot of options out there. As we know, Lisa is a 12-stepper, proud 12-stepper.
Yes.
And I'm not. I go to road recovery and I do yoga and meditation. But we have so many, parallels.
We do.
In our recovery. And there's lots of other recovery options out there. So we wanted to talk a little bit about those.
Yeah. I mean, I think you probably are much more familiar with these things because when I got sober, there were no options. It was 12-step or nothing. I was ready for 12-step and have continued to do so and have not sort of experimented with other things. However, I will say I do take part in other things that are not part of 12-step recovery, and that is a great thing. And there is no judgment on any of this stuff because, as you've heard us say a bunch of times before, Whatever works for you.
We
do what we do that we feel like works, and we do not judge what anybody else does that works.
Yeah, exactly. I can speak a little bit about road recovery.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about road recovery.
Yeah, so road recovery has been fundamental in my sobriety. So my first, a little over 2 years of my sobriety, I did not attend any support groups. Most of my support actually came from online. Social media and things of that nature, and hosting some sober social events here in the city.
You dug into that yourself.
I did.
You started a blog. You started having events immediately.
I did. I started doing those things. Also going to Ruby's Sober Curious. Ruby Warrington from the Numinous. She hosts some Sober Curious events here in the city that I really enjoy.
And that's something to wrap.
She's fantastic. And her events are for the sober curious, and she has a book coming out called Sober Curious.
Can you define sober curious?
Yeah, so it's basically being curious about what your life is like without alcohol. And I think it's so great that she coined that term because a lot of people are in that headspace right now, questioning their relationships with alcohol in a way that's never been done before. And Ruby's really trailblazed that scene, and she hosts these great events a couple times a year, and it just gets people together. Like, you don't have to be sober to come to her events,
right?
But
the events have no alcohol,
but they're alcohol free events. If you want to meet other people that are interested in, maybe they're not sober either, maybe they are, but some other people that are like you, her events hold that space, and it's really powerful. And I do some of my own events here in the city. I host readings on recovery and sobriety parties. And but road recovery has single-handedly been instrumental to, like, a pivotal moment in my recovery. I started going to road recovery meetings in February of 2018.
What year was that?
You may
be listening to this in 2019.
This is true. Or 2020. I mean, yeah. Life. So I started going to them.
Well, what is road recovery?
Road recovery is, it's not a public support group. It's a nonprofit that helps at-risk youth stay sober, or if drugs and alcohol aren't their problem, maybe it's cutting or eating disorders or depression, anxiety. It helps these kids, I say kids, like youth 30 and under, helps them stay clean through the power of music.
Yeah.
And if you've met me once, you know that music is essential to my life. It's my oxygen. And so they do support groups twice a week. It's kind of like on the lines like an after school program. And I've come on board as a creative mentor, helping the kids write some songs. I've done some spoken word with them. And being able to pair sobriety, support groups, and rock and roll in one thing has completely taken my recovery into a different direction. And it's really cool because we'll have a support group for the first hour, and then we take the energy from that first hour into creating. So we're writing songs, making music, doing a writing workshop, whatever it is. We're taking that, all the shit that comes up in a meeting, and we're doing something productive and powerful with it.
And the music is amazing. And they did our theme song, right?
No, that was my friend Guy.
Oh, that was your friend Guy.
Yeah.
But the music that you have recorded, I love.
Yes.
And it's so heartfelt, and it's so emotional and connected. It is really... I mean, it's really amazing. There's so much talent.
There is so much talent.
And she did spoken word with Fred Schneider.
That was really cool. That was like a surreal moment.
Yes. And
we, the Road Recovery, that their house band called Type 2. We have an EP on Spotify and iTunes.
Everybody listen. It's so good.
Called Talk It Out. Yeah. It's I'm a very, very small part of it. It's the kids.
Yeah.
I've just been very blessed to help with some songwriting and throw some spoken word in there. And it's been really powerful. Road Recovery is amazing. Who else? What else do we have on our list?
Well, Smart Recovery is one that we hear a lot of people talk about, and that I know people who have been participants, like go to Smart Recovery meetings and like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm correct, Smart Recovery is more about behavior modification than abstinence.
It is. One thing I really like about Smart Recovery is there's no counting days. It's just, I'm in recovery and that's it.
Right.
It's, I'm in recovery. They don't care what you're in recovery for.
Mm-hmm.
You come in, there's some writing exercises or, kind of like CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy kind of stuff.
That's what I thought.
And it's I like it because it's again, no counting days, but it's also we're talking about the shit that's going on, and then we're being productive of like, this is how to change it, or this is how to be aware of it when this feeling comes up. And I really like that.
Yeah,
I've only been to a few meetings, and I highly recommend checking out SMART if AA isn't for you, or if you've tried some other things. Highly recommend finding a SMART meeting in your area.
Is that good for like a sober curious person?
A sober curious person who's, I will say the difference between sober curious and difference between sobriety and recovery.
Yeah.
Really. Sobriety is simply abstaining, right?
Yeah.
If you're curious, maybe recovery curious would be more for SMART. Because people that tend to lean toward the sober curious route are just wanting to not drink. They're not necessarily wanting to dig into the recovery.
Right. Aspect. And look at why they drank and what
exactly.
All of that.
And that's fine too. You don't have to do
There's
that.
There's no right or wrong way on any of this.
Yeah. Exactly. SMART's great. Highly recommend it. What else do we have here? Our book club where we fell in love.
So these are the kind we did. We fell in love. So you want to talk about it? Because you were like a founding member, right?
No, you were there before me.
Oh, then we were both at the same one. That must have been, if it was your first, it was my first too.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
We popped our book club cherry together, apparently.
Our Who first. Knows? That's why we're in love and we're
inseparable. That's right. That's right. But there is, for example, our incredible friend Maya, mm-hmm. who some of you may know from online as the Sober Glow.
Yes.
She's a goddess.
She is. She hosts sober retreats.
Yeah,
well.
For anybody on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And amazing.
Yeah, she's
amazing.
Great.
And she had started what is in New York City, a sober book club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a group of, it's been women, but there's no reason it always had to be women. Probably like now the group is up to like 40 people or something.
There's a lot in our Facebook group. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a Facebook group for it called the SG Book Club.
Sober girls.
Yes.
But you don't have to be a girl.
And it has been like this amazing connector where each, it varies with people's schedules, but there will be a book that everybody's reading, and it's generally a book about recovery or a memoir or something like that, and something recovery related. And then we get together on, you know, a Saturday afternoon, or, you know, sometimes they're in the evening during the week, whatever it is, and have like a regular book club that basically turns into, you know, sort of like a group recovery meeting.
It does become a meeting in a way.
It does. Like,
even
it
if
does.
You don't read the book, people, there's times when I don't read the book. I just come because I want to hang out, and I want that peer support. And the snacks.
The snacks. We do
Lisa
have snacks.
Lisa brings great snacks and LaCroix.
I'm big on the snacks and the LaCroix. But it is also like there are people there who are sober, people there who are sober curious, yeah. I would say. You don't have to be, again, you don't have to be not drinking to come to SG Book Club.
You just have to be sober while you're there.
You have to be sober while you're
don't
there.
Don't drink while you're there.
Yeah.
Don't sneak wine in your LaCroix. But
yeah.
But, like, we bring this up because I know people that are in smaller towns reach out to me, maybe you as well, that are looking for something else to do other than AA.
Right.
And I can't speak enough about how cool it is to have a book club. And that's something you can start in your hometown.
It's less about the books. It's,
even if it's a monthly just hang out and eat cheese club, that's cool too. But, like...
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff that you can do in your own community that can supplement.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because talking about it, when I hear from people who are in places where there aren't, you know, large recovery communities, or they're not plugged in, you know, they're not necessarily into 12-step, and but they want a recovery kind of community, I cannot say enough, which is astounding to me, about the power of these social media groups that are, like, there's a bunch of secret Facebook groups that we could always connect you with. But, like, the idea, because I realized pretty quickly in 12-step that one of the most powerful things, if not the most powerful thing about 12-step, is that it gave you a group of people who got it, you know? Like, I always felt like my brain, like, I was the odd person out. Like, nobody could... relate to or understand the way my brain worked. And I realized as soon as I started going to 12-step meetings, like, oh my God, there's this whole world of people whose brains are wired like mine. And I want to hang out with them. But if you're someplace where you can't really have that kind of access, I mean, in New York, it's a totally different thing. It tends to be that in places where it's easy to get really banged up, it's easy to find good recovery.
Oh yeah, of course.
So, there are these groups, and there are people on from all over the world. I'm thinking of one that's called BFB.
I don't know that one.
It's called Booze Free Brigade, BFB, and it's got thousands of members, at least, well, I know it's definitely over 1,000, and they're all over the world. So there is always somebody who is plugged in and coping with something, dealing with something, and if you don't want to participate, if you want to just be able to sort of lurk and monitor and read what people are doing, you can get, you know, you can do that, and you can stay anonymous if you've got an anonymous account.
That's true.
So there are, and you know, they're not always obvious, these groups, because they are secret. It's not open for the world to read. But Tawny and I can both get you connected with that.
Yeah, for sure. And even you're talking about secret Facebook groups. Or not secret. She Recovers has a great
Facebook
group for women and women identifying sober folks. And She Recovers, they do wonderful events as well for women that are
in recovery.
There's
like 500 women.
Yeah, there's
from everything, recovering from
they're
everything.
They're a really, really powerful nonprofit now. Really great organization. And also Work at Health, which you and I have both written for.
Yes.
Work at Health is a really cool online tool. Really cool.
It's really like it's meant to be like a recovery app, basically, right?
Yeah, basically, it's really cool. You can you know, you create an account, and of course, it could be anonymous.
But this is something you have to pay for.
You do have to pay for it. You do have to pay for it, but it's affordable. I don't remember how much it is, but it's definitely most people can afford it.
And it is partnered with tons of with insurance companies and employers, so
exactly.
It may be available through
it could
your
be available
place
for
of
you.
Work.
It's worth looking into. So what I like about Work at Health is that they acknowledge the recovery spectrum. So you type in what you're working on. If you're trying to give up drinking or cigarettes or drugs or sex or gambling, whatever you're working on, you're given a personal recovery coach, digital recovery coach. You can set up emails or calls with them, you know, whatever you want. And it's so nice, because I know for me in early sobriety, the thought of going into a meeting of any sort was really overwhelming, which is why I felt such comfort in the online social media world. And I think that's why I gravitated towards Work at Health, because I was able to do that from my couch in my pajamas and get help, get and professional
when
help.
You need it. Like,
it was really nice.
Yeah. And they are very, I know for, there are, I am contacted a lot by professionals, by lawyers and others who have issues that, you know, in relate to their recovery in the workplace. Like, how do they, you know, go to social, like, or not even social, like business events without drinking, like That's business true. Dinners, client, taking clients out for drinks, all that stuff. And Work It Health has a lot that's geared toward professionals in recovery. So that might be, of interest. And that's what they had me write about.
Yeah, your articles were great for that, because there's not a lot of pieces being written about the professional.
But I'm doing that
scene.
Now for the temper.
And you're doing it. You do it really well. Obviously, the book speaks to the professional world, you know, particularly lawyers, but any, like, a professional can relate to that. And the pieces that you are contributing to Work at Health and the temper are unique and really helpful.
The temper is really, well, we were going to talk a little bit about.
Let's just talk about Holly for the rest of the podcast.
Let's talk about Holly.
She's a goddess.
A total goddess. Yeah. She's beyond. Yeah.
She's done so much for the sobriety and recovery community.
Huge.
And for the marginalized folks in the sobriety and recovery community.
Yes.
Which is really, really powerful, because a lot of the outspoken recovery advocates tend to be white females and males.
Yeah.
And Holly does a really good job of giving voices and a platform to people of color and of the LGBT community to help them share their story.
Yeah.
Because representation is so important, especially in recovery.
Yeah. How did you meet Holly?
Same way I met you, internet.
Yeah.
we followed each other on Instagram for a while, and then whenever she moved to New York, we met for lunch.
Oh, you hadn't met in person, because she moved to New York from California, we had, and you, I remember now, you had to miss it. It was a Welcome to New York Hip Sobriety.
I had it. My film was in Holly. A film festival that day.
That's right. You were busy hobnobbing with the glitterati. but Holly has something she started her own kind of recovery course called Hip Sobriety.
Hip Sobriety School.
Right. And so people take this Hip Sobriety School course with her, and it is, you know, really not, it's a non 12-step kind of program. It is not a label program. They do not identify as alcoholics or are not considering themselves powerless and you know, a number of the things that are turnoffs to a lot of people about 12-step are, you know, addressed in a different way. And
she does it in a really, really interesting, inviting way.
Yeah. Very inclusive, like you said.
Very inclusive.
And so she, when people reach out to me and say, you know, they're thinking about things, but they don't know or whatever, if they want to try 12-step, I always suggest that they check out Holly and Hip Sobriety, because, you know, a lot of people, particularly the millennials and younger, particularly the people in your demographic, aren't interested in walking in somewhere and saying, I'm powerless. It's just and I get it. I totally get it.
I just say how cool it is that you are so open-minded about that? Because I've met a lot of 12-steppers that have told me that unless you admit you're an alcoholic, you're going to relapse.
Right.
Unless you start going to meetings, you're going to relapse. And you've never been that way with me. And you're super open to all of this new recovery
work. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not just open to it, but you're very supportive of it. And I think that's really commendable, and I appreciate
it. Thank you. I mean, my concern has always been that there have been these issues, which are issues, you know, calling yourself an alcoholic, saying you're powerless, finding a higher power. They have worked for me, and to me, in my view, they have saved my life. I know they have turned off a lot of people who have chosen not to come back into the rooms, you know, the 12-step rooms. And that doesn't mean those people don't have a path to get sober. And anybody who wants to get sober and wants to recover should have a path, whatever that path is. I mean, that's my view. I've always worried about, you know, I've been from the early days seeing people come in and then I can tell they're being turned off and then you don't see them ever again. And that, you know, breaks my heart because that person may or may not have alternatives. And, you know, these are so important because nobody's recovery is more or less valid because of the way they do it, you know?
Oh, yeah,
it is not. Sure. It is not for me to judge anybody's path, you know, but I know what you're talking about. There's a lot of really, you know, hardcore people, and I don't know why they feel the need to impose that on other people. I just don't think that that is necessary. But, yeah, I want everybody to recover however they, you know, are happy recovering. Yeah. That's the whole thing. But on Holly, we also want to talk about, just to mention, her take on recovery is also, she has a very feminist viewpoint.
Intersectional feminist empowerment. Yes. Yeah.
And that is her online publication that people might be interested in checking out called The Temper.
Yeah. The Temper.
The Temper. It is, to me, it's the difference. It's like when I've written pieces for certain publications, you know, I'm very kind of circumspect about how I say things about the professional world or about other things. And writing for Holly for The Temper, it was like the first time I just, you know, I wrote something about going to work events with alcohol, which I hate. And I was able to say in this piece, I fucking hate these parties. You know, I would never write that down in the other, because the other would be like, you can get through it, and you can, and I'm going to tell you how I get through it.
It's real, it's grounded and relatable.
It's much more like my gut, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a great thing.
Yeah. Her platform has given so many voices, just like you're saying, a realistic outlet.
Yes.
And multiple types of voices are able to be heard and represented in this platform. And I think it's really powerful, and it's taken, you know, the recovery world right now, especially in New York, is very progressive.
Yeah.
And she's taking that progression to the next level.
Yeah.
With what she's doing with The Temper.
Yeah.
And it's so important. And we really encourage you to check out the website and the Instagram. It's so informative.
Yes.
And just,
yeah,
we clearly like Holly.
We
a
do.
Little bit.
A little
she's,
bit.
Yeah, she's kind of cool.
It's like Robert De Niro and Goodfellas. A little bit.
A little bit.
And of course, to wrap this up, there are readings on recovery and sobriety parties.
Yeah. So I host some sober events here in the city. You can get details on that on my website, sobrietyparty.com.
T-E-A.
Yeah, sobrietyparty.com. And I remember when I first got sober, I wasn't, like, all the resources that we have just talked about, I didn't know about any of them. And I was not interested in AA in any way. Like you're saying, I don't want to go into a room and talk about being powerless. I don't want to use the word alcoholic. And I felt like I felt like I wasn't welcome. And I started the blog and these events with that in mind of, you know, there's got to be other people like that out there that don't want to drink, that want to meet other people.
Yeah.
And actually want to have fun, you know, not just be sober and talk about recovery, but actually have fun without alcohol and find ways that, you know, we talk about the really heavy shit, but in a realistic, fun way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I would put in, I would say I have had some of my largest belly laughs and guffaws in AA meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Even AA has like the light side. But it's true. I mean, but those are very much about meetings. This is about being social and interacting.
Yeah.
And Big Vision is another one.
Big Vision.
That.
Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Big Vision. They are New York City based and they host sober New York, sober social events every week. every single week
with the target towards younger people.
Yeah, and everything from go-kart racing to flying trapeze to rock bouldering to, you know, when I, those SMART meetings that I went to, they were big vision events.
Oh, okay.
They had a representative from SMART meeting come in and lead us through a couple meetings. In knitting, you know, something as big as flying trapeze and something as small as sitting in a room together and learning how to knit.
Yeah.
And they do these events every single week and it's so important.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I would like to go bowling.
Bowling, yes. There's so much. Let's go bowling.
I would love to go bowling. You want to go bowling?
Recovery Rocks bowling
Recovery
night.
Rocks. Woo! I can't do it. Bowling night. I have three fingers up. Thanks, everybody. Let us know if there are other alternative methods to sobriety recovery that you know of. And we would love to be able to plug these to other people. So just making people aware, however you do it. You know, the thing is to try and be healthy and try and be happy. We all deserve it. And
we do.
We do.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. So do you.
So do you.
Thanks, girl.
We'll see you next time. Bye. We would love to hear from you guys. If anybody wants to ask questions, have any discussion, comments, weigh in, you can find me at Girl Walks Out on Twitter, on Instagram, and my website is lisasmithauthor.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Tawny M. Lara, and my website is tawnylara.com. And my blog you can find at sobrietyparty.com.
That's right.
T-E-A.